What's up, Indie Popcon Podcast Awards? It's Pat from the Nerd You're Looking For podcast. And for this year's Podcast Awards, we have decided to take one of our more recent movie reviews. On the podcast, we have what we call our main topic. It typically is a TV or movie review. And we recently reviewed Ready Player One, which is a movie based on a book of the same name that Tyler, my co-host, and I are big fans of. So we were really excited about this movie and we were really excited to review this movie. So hopefully that excitement came through on the review and I hope that you guys enjoy it. Thank you. So at this point of each episode, we have a main topic. We've been reviewing a lot of movies recently, and that's going to continue. I'm really excited about this review because I was really excited about this movie. It is Ready Player One, which of course is based on the book of the same name, written by Ernest Cline, who also helped write the screenplay. And if you're not familiar with the book or the movie, it is about characters in a futuristic post-apocalyptic world where the population, in an attempt to escape the harsh realities of their lives, spend almost all of their time in a virtual world called the Oasis. When the creator of that VR world dies, he leaves clues for an Easter egg that would unlock his fortune. So we've talked about this a lot. I think it was, if it wasn't my first pick, it was one of my first picks for the Rotten Tomatoes film draft. It's something that we've discussed before on the podcast. We've talked about like Power Rangers, like that's a huge franchise, but neither one of us really care about it. So we went and saw that movie and we kind of just were hoping that it was good because we want every movie that we see to be good, but we didn't really give a shit about the franchise. So if it was bad, which it ultimately ended up being bad, we didn't care about it. Now, this is one that obviously I was really excited about because I like the book a lot. But it's one that I was really nervous about because I wanted it to be so good, not just because of the film draft, but also because I love this book. And I'm not going to say that if the film was bad, then I wasn't going to appreciate the book as much, because the MCU has taught us to appreciate both of them separately. So I don't think it would spoil my appreciation for the book, but I would definitely be very, very disappointed if this movie wasn't good.
Yeah, I just finished the book this week, and I loved the book. So obviously, when the promotional materials started coming out for this movie, I hadn't finished it yet, but I was a little nervous as well. I have kind of soured on Steven Spielberg over the last few years, which I know is kind of blasphemy to say as a nerd, but I mean, it's true. And yet his movies have really been hit or miss for me over the last decade or so. And so, yeah, I was kind of nervous about this movie. I would have originally liked to someone else to kind of be behind it. But yeah, I was still looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, so if this is your first episode, we kind of break down our reviews very similar to how we break down the episode as a whole. We break it down into sections, and the first kind of segment that we have is kind of just a general overview. We call it broad strokes. So how'd you feel about Ready Player One?
Overall, this is a really fun movie, and it's a full-on love letter to pop culture, which I really appreciate. It's easily the best video game movie I've ever seen, if you're willing to count it. I guess maybe not, because it's not actually based on a video game, but you know, most of it takes place in a video game world, so I'll count it. You know, I thought I was going to dislike the Oasis in this movie because it's animated, but I actually ended up finding myself getting really disappointed anytime the movie was live action and taking place in the real world, which is, I guess, kind of a reflection of the story of this movie. With all of that being said, though, I definitely had some story issues that we'll get into. I think that people that hold themselves higher because they've read a book and say the book's better are you know, some of the biggest douchebags on the planet. And I might sound a little bit like that and when we get to story, just a forewarning, but the plot of this movie just deviated a little too much for me from the source material for my liking. So overall, not a bad movie, but definitely some issues I have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for those that haven't read the book that are planning on reading the book, I'm just going to warn you off the top. I will probably be spoiling a little bit more than some of you might like me to spoil, but the book has been out for years now, so you've had plenty of opportunity to read it. Of course, we're going to stay away from spoilers for the movie, but as far as the book's concerned, I feel like for me being a huge fan of the book, it would be a disservice for this review, and it would be very hard for me personally to talk about this movie without talking about it in relationship to the book. So a lot of some of my negative critiques of the movie are because they change so much from the book, like you said. And I normally don't do this. So for those that follow us on Twitter, which you should, we're very smart and we say a lot of funny and smart things on there. You can follow us at The Nerds Podcast. I actually was so, I don't want to say disappointed when I first got out of this film, but I just felt very strongly about this that I had to kind of get it off my chest immediately. So I tweeted something and I don't have it sitting in front of me, so I don't know exactly what I said. But basically that I understand at this point that the book and the movie can be separate and they could still be good separately. But the fact that this movie changed so much from the book was distracting. And I still feel like that, but I don't feel as strongly about it as I did. Like sitting down and kind of thinking about this movie in relationship to doing the review, I found more and more that I liked about it versus the things that I didn't like about it, because it's really fun. Like you said, I will say that some of the stuff and a lot of the problems I have with it are the fact that it changed from the book. The biggest thing for me is it felt like, even though there is heart in this movie, I felt like they did a disservice to the movie by taking out some of the heart from the book. Like some of the biggest emotional moments from the book aren't in the movie. And that was disappointing for me. And I think that's why I felt so strongly when I first got out of this film. And then I started to reflect a little bit more about it. And the more I reflected, the more I liked about it. So I think that ultimately, even though it is a fun movie and I really enjoyed some of the visuals and some of the Easter eggs, so to speak, and kind of the cameos, I guess, in this movie, there was definitely a feeling that it was more style over substance.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, man. I think you make a really good point about the heart of the movie, and I'm sure we'll get more to that when we get to story.
Yeah, let's just jump right into the story. How'd you feel about Ready Player One?
So when you read a book, you create a world in your mind, and when it's put on the screen, you can definitely be disappointed in what the director or the cinematographer or whoever imagines for the world. And I will say that for me, that did not happen here. I really loved how the Oasis was envisioned in this film and thought that everything was creative and beautifully designed. And when the film started for me, it felt very familiar, but this is where we're going to get back to kind of the heart of the book being kind of taken out. So even though it felt very familiar at the beginning, as it progressed, it deviated quite a bit from the source material. And I think that things in the story were changed that didn't need to be. I mean, I came into the movie knowing that it was like, you know, a 2-hour, 20-minute movie and that things would have to be removed for time. But once the Easter egg hunt gets rolling, all of the personal struggles and principles of the characters are kind of thrown out the window. An example I have is that the high five start working together to find the keys immediately, even though they all say basically at one point or another that they don't clan up. And I would have liked to have seen more strife there, like you see in the book. And in a way, it kind of goes against everything that the characters said they stood for in the movie. It could have added a lot more weight to the climax of the movie when they finally do team up, if they had kind of all resisted it throughout the film like they do in the book. Also, I thought that the idea of a resistance was kind of weird. There's a point in the movie where Artemis tells Wade, like, welcome to the resistance. And to me, that didn't make a lot of sense to the core values of the book. I like the idea of these kids just being nerdy gamers that have a chance to find this Easter egg. But when you start talking about, you know, the sole purpose being a resistance to IOI, then that kind of stuff devalues the hunt for the Easter egg. And that kind of bothered me a little bit as well. The last thing that I'll kind of complain about, like, as it has deviated from the book, is that I didn't really feel right with how quickly the hunt goes in the movie, given how long it took everyone to find that first clue. The movie could have easily taken place over a longer period of time to give more weight to the hunt, but pretty much as soon as they find that first key, everything happens in the matter of a few days, which I don't know is very realistic. I guess none of the movie's realistic, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense in the grand scheme of things. And I realize that that's a lot of negative that I've just said, but I honestly just kind of wanted to get that off my chest here. Again, just to reiterate what I said in broad strokes, I really did like the movie, and I thought that it was a lot of fun, and I definitely plan on seeing it again. I was just a bit disappointed with how some things were portrayed. This movie is definitely a pop culture lover's dream, and I love that they didn't pull any punches with the nerdiness of the things that they included. You know, it was a little distracting that almost all of the pop culture references were things that WB owned, Warner Brothers owned. But you know, that's not a deal breaker. And I thought that they wove that into the story pretty well. So was it the representation of Ready Player One that I was hoping for? Not necessarily. But was it a bad movie? Absolutely not.
So, yeah, we're going to be pretty similar as we normally are with these reviews. I will disagree right off the bat with you. I actually didn't mind that they were kind of friends at the beginning. Like, I think that speeds up the movie a little bit more. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, there's a struggle there at the beginning of the book. And it takes them, I would say, at least a third of the book before they actually really legitimately start working together. And they actually start, like, doing quests and stuff together to get artifacts and whatnot in the book. I just think that if you make a page-by-page adaptation of this book, it's going to be 6 hours long. So the fact that they were already kind of friends at the very beginning, that makes sense to me. Like, that's just a good way to speed up the movie. So that didn't necessarily bother me. Right off the bat, they're friends, and they have this race. And I actually kind of like that. I liked it, the fact that they changed the first key or gate or whatever you want to call it to the race, because I think that it does a really good job of kind of explaining right off the bat that this is going to be different. Like, don't expect this to be exactly like the book. And I actually really like that. I will say that the race, even though it was fun, it felt really easy. Like, the solution to the first key or gate or whatever was really hard, really hard in the first book. And I was really looking forward to seeing that struggle represented in the film, especially that particular part, going through the cave and playing joust and stuff like that. Like, I thought that was going to be really cool to see on screen. Of course, we don't get any of that, and we just get the race, which again was fun, but the solution to it seemed really easy. Now, I think I never really thought that we were going to get War Games, and I never thought that we were going to get Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And we were kind of talking about this when we were streaming Fortnite the other night. It would have been kind of boring if we did. And I really appreciated the fact that the next key was The Shining, and they kind of did something similar. Like, they did what the closest thing that you could do to what happens in the book in the movie. So I definitely appreciate that. As much as I'm going to complain about how they deviated from the book, that was one thing that I felt like, okay, that's kind of a wink and a nod towards the book. Like, yeah, they can't do it exactly what happens, but I thought that scene was some of the strongest in the whole movie. Like, I really liked The Shining stuff. I thought that was really, really fun. I liked the H kind of goes off on his own and you don't, he doesn't know The Shining. And that, I thought that that was one of the funnier parts in the whole movie. So I definitely appreciate that. I really liked the Sixers trying to figure out The Shining, and you kind of see them not in the Oasis. You see them in the real world kind of freaking out. I thought that that was really, really well done and really funny. So I appreciated that. I will say that one of my favorite parts of the book, and that's actually going to be, spoiler alert, that's going to be our nerd favorite for this episode, what your favorite part of Ready Player One, the book, was. And I really liked the caper aspect in the book and the fact that they changed that. Not only did they change it, which, again, doesn't necessarily bother me that much, the fact that it just didn't play as big of a role in the movie versus the book really bothered me. Like, that's, I mean, that is one of the best moments that I can remember from the first time I read the book, was that caper. And I really was kind of disappointed in that. And I will agree with you that the resistance thing was pretty stupid, but I don't knock the movie that much for it, because honestly, it doesn't play that big of a role. Like, yeah, she says, welcome to the resistance, and it's like 10 minutes and the resistance is over. So it doesn't really play much of a role in the movie. So that didn't really necessarily bother me that much. I will say, I'm going to stay away from big spoiler in the book, but I'm just going to be very, very vague when I say that one of the biggest parts of the book, one of the most heartbreaking parts of the book, is a particular character's death in the book. And kind of the big reveal of that death is just heartbreaking. Like, I teared up the first time I read the book. I teared up a little bit when I was rereading it. And I say that in quotes because I just listened to it on Audible, which, if you haven't already, definitely do that, because Will Wheaton reads it and it's pretty awesome. But anyways, that's a huge part of the book, and it's not even at all in the movie. And that was really disappointing for me. And then, of course, H doesn't play as big of a role. Like, her true identity, it plays a big role in the book, and it's not even mentioned in the movie hardly at all. So that was a little disappointing as well. I will say that there is a quarter that plays a big role in the book, and I really liked how they changed it in the movie. I thought it was really, really smart the way that they changed it, because, again, kind of like at the very beginning with the race, like, it was a cool way to kind of speed up that process, because in the book he plays a perfect game of Pac-Man. Well, you're not going to fucking, like, you're not going to watch him play a perfect game of Pac-Man in this movie. Like, that's just going to be super boring, and it's just going to slow the movie down really, really slow. So, yeah, I really appreciated how they did that. But overall, I think the movie itself was really, really fun. It just, some of the changes here and there just really bugged me.
Yeah, no, I think we're definitely on the same page here. I think that the things that were omitted, like that character's death, you know, that kind of made the movie feel like a shell of itself. Because, like you said, in your broad strokes, which I really agreed with, was that there was a lack of heart in this film, which was, for me, what I think I was most disappointed with.
For sure. So our next segment of these reviews are performances, which is kind of weird because you don't see the actual people performing much in this movie. So I personally don't have a ton to say. I don't know about you, Tyler.
No. So I thought that, I mean, I don't have any complaints about the performances. I will say, in the first trailer we saw, we see a glimpse of Mark Rylance as a Holiday. And I was like, oh man, that looks like really bad acting. And I will say that I thought that his portrayal of Holiday was pretty good in the movie overall. He plays like the introverted nerd pretty well. It kind of reminded me of Garth from Wayne's World in a way, and how he chose to portray Holiday. But I thought that he was great. Simon Pegg is, of course, always great. I thought that he was a unique choice for Morrow. And then, I mean, everybody else, like you said, is pretty much motion capture, but there's nothing to complain about for me. I thought that everybody did good voice work. Whenever there were live action scenes, I thought that everybody was fine. I genuinely have no complaints. I thought that everybody turned in pretty good performances.
Yeah, I thought Holiday was really, well done in this movie. I thought his performance was awesome, as did you. Ty Sheridan, I thought like he was going to be like this up and coming actor, and then he kind of picked some shit, and I don't think that his career hasn't gone probably the way that he wanted to, but I think in the small bits that you see him, I think you kind of see some glimpses of why everyone liked him as much as they did. I will say that Ben Mendelsohn was a little disappointing. Like, I liked him being cast as Sorrento. I thought that was a really good cast job, I guess. But I don't know what it was about his face, just that, like, his mouth, the way he, like, I don't know if he's got some work done or what, or maybe he was always like this, but it was just very distracting, like, the way he talked in this movie. And the fact that that was what I could think about, all I could think about when he was on screen, kind of tells you how I felt about his performance. It really didn't captivate me. If I'm thinking about, like, what the fuck is wrong with his mouth the whole time, really didn't captivate me as far as his performance is concerned. I will say Olivia Cooke as Artemis, when you see her in the real world, I thought she wasn't that great. Like, I mean, she wasn't bad. It just, I wasn't captivated, I guess, by her performance. But all in all, I think that you don't really see them in the real world that much, so I can't really complain too much.
Cool.
All right, so the action of Ready Player One, what'd you think?
I thought the action was pretty fantastic. Like I mentioned in my broad strokes, when I saw in the trailers that the Oasis was going to be completely animated, I got a little worried that would deter from like the action and things like that, but I thought it was done incredibly well. The action was fun. At times it was breathtaking. It was especially cool because of all the pop culture references. Like, I really enjoyed that. Like, I found myself smiling quite a bit during the race or during the climax in the movie, the battle, where there's just like a wealth of pop culture references. But yeah, I have no complaints about the action. I thought that it was done extremely well.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I thought the race was really fun, even though it was defeated very easily. I thought the race was really cool, especially with the T-Rex and then King Kong at the end. I thought that was really cool. And then, like you said, the wealth of pop cultural references. I love that Goro was in this movie at one point. I thought that was pretty cool, being a big Mortal Kombat fan. The battle at the end, even though they did tweak that battle, there weren't as many giant robots as there should have been in the book. I was a little bit disappointed in that, but that fight scene was pretty cool. I will say that they used the Ninja Turtle that I saw was the movie, the most recent movie, Raphael, yeah. I believe. And so I was a little bit disappointed in that. I would have liked to see
Donatello at one point.
Oh, yeah? I must have missed that one. There's so many references.
Movie, yeah, that was the most recent movie, though.
Yeah, so I was a little bit disappointed in that. I mean, I was kind of hoping for old school cartoon TMNT, but I get why they used the movie version because, I mean, that's the most recent, and I wouldn't say it was necessarily geared towards kids, but I mean, it makes sense that they would use that particular version. I do like the Halo, the Master Chief was in this movie a little bit. That was pretty cool, especially at the battle. Like, I love the battle. Other than the giant robots, or lack thereof, I was very, very satisfied with that scene. And I was obviously hoping that I would be, because that is such a huge part in the book.
Yeah, I thought that Iron Giant's inclusion was a little weird because he's basically used as a weapon. And
yeah,
that's completely against everything that movie stands for. So, I mean, I know that they just kind of had to go with what they had the rights to. And Iron Giant is mentioned in the book, so I appreciate that. But I did think that was a little strange.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
All right. So let's go ahead and give this a star rating out of 5 stars. What'd you feel about Ready Player One?
So obviously I had my gripes and I wish that certain things with the book were carried over. But at the end of the day, like, I really had fun watching this movie and I'm excited to watch it again. And with that being said, I am giving it a 4 out of 5.
Wow. I thought I was going to be high with my 3.5. Like, I really thought that I was going to be the highest of the two of us. I originally had given it 3. And then I was like, the more I sat and reflected, like I said, I was pretty negative when I first came out of this movie. And the more I sat and reflected, it was really, really fun. So I bumped it up to a 3.5. And I thought maybe I was going to be the higher of the two of us. So I'm glad that we both liked it, though, even though it definitely had our gripes about it.